Well, folks seem to be enjoying the music there, don't they? Janet Paschal, Lead Me to the Rock, also heard from Robin Mark, and it's all in all a great way to start off our 8 o'clock hour here on The Broken Road. We're Broken Road Radio, and I'm Jim Park. It is now 9 minutes past the hour, 9 and a half past the hour. David Allen Punt is with us, and joining us now from East Texas is Dr. Don Clark. Don, good morning to you.
Well, good morning, Jim, and good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Don.
How are things in the east of Texas today? You know, I always pick. Well, I think of Texas first. I think of hot, parched, dry. But there's some wet and wonderful places in Texas. Where are you on the line there?
Well, it's going to be bright and sunny today, and it might be a little warm. But the hot and dry is actually West Texas.
Out west, yeah.
Yeah. East Texas, where we are, is normally not so hot. Although last year was just unseasonably hot, from what I understand.
Well, you weren't there. You were in Seattle this time last year, weren't you?
I was.
Yeah.
So. Yes. We were in Seattle for about a year, year and a half or so.
Okay. Well, that's quite a difference, isn't it, from the fog and drizzle of Seattle to the sunshine and green of East Texas. Don is a biochemist and a member of the board of Creation Moments, and we just take great joy in talking with him every Monday because we learn so much. And today I'm going to mention a word here I know nothing about, but I like to throw it out because it sounds good. Metaphysics. Where does I'm guessing that might be a word that defines the place, the interface, the boundary between spirit and physical that we're just now starting to study as scientists. Would that be fair to say?
Well, that's some folks have definitely interpreted it that way, and it's interesting because as the more you get into metaphysics, the more you get into the spiritual realm, but not necessarily dealing with the creator God that we know. So you get into a bunch of New Age if you go too far in the metaphysical realm.
So metaphysics does not relate to physics. It's not necessarily science, is what you say.
Not necessarily, because it's you're dealing with things that we can't see, feel, touch, or you know we are just kind of extrapolating into the other part of either this physical realm, or we are bordering on, as you said, the spiritual realm.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking here at the next song that we're going to be playing later this hour. It's from Steve Bell. It's called Diamonds from the Other Side. And I do have this notion that there are good things on that other side. And I'm thinking spiritual here, spiritual realms, beautiful things that somehow we see darkly, as through a glass, in other words, in a mirror, we're kind of fogged. We can't communicate with that side real well, but somehow we get things from that side, and we can make good or evil of them because of the conversion instrument we have here between our ears. Are you familiar with Annie Herring, music of Annie Herring?
I don't believe so.
Okay, well, she was one of the original Jesus people, the people that wrote and performed songs back in the early 70s that really brought Christian music to the mainstream radio. And Annie Herring always considered herself not a songwriter, but she called herself a receiver. Mm. She would sit at the piano and be given, in her words, melodies and lyrics, and it made the most beautiful music. Is it feasible that our minds are kind of that interface, that somehow, I mean, after all, we can take an idea and turn it into reality? Or maybe take ideas from multiple people, put it together, and one building upon the other, and come up with an airplane, or a song. Somehow, that mind seems to be a conversion engine from the mental, or the emotional, maybe the spiritual, to the physical. Is there a scientific counterpart to that, and is that a fair statement?
Well, I think we have to actually go back to the Bible to answer that question, because, and go back to Genesis, because God made us special. I mean, we are special beings in that obviously we have a physical body, and we have a soul of which the mind and emotions are a part. But then we have this other part that God breathed into us, you know, not only the breath of life, but he breathed into us a spirit. And so we're actually made up of body, soul, and spirit in three parts, just as God is made up of three parts. And so, you know, we're made in his image. And he made, you got to answer the question, why did he make us as spirit beings as well as physical beings? And it really boils down to, I think, because the Bible talks about this almost throughout the whole Bible, if you're looking for it, in that God wanted to communicate with us. He wanted to interact with us. He wanted to give us ideas. He wanted to fill us with joy and things like that.
Kind of like we have to be on the same frequency to communicate.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So God is spirit, and so he communicates through the spirit. And so that still small voice, you know, that we hear when God speaks to us, if we're listening, is our spirit communicating with God.
So you're saying that being made in his image has nothing to do with a paunch and a bald spot, but it has to do with being a little like him spiritually. In other words, possessing some degree of the same spirit that resides with God.
Well, and some characteristics that God has. I mean, Genesis talks about the first characteristic that we learn from God in that, well, not only did he speak, but he created. And we're certainly very, very creative beings, or we can be. And so we have that characteristic in common with God. But our spirit being, if we allow it to come alive and to, you know, actually connect with God, is really more real than our physical beings.
It's the real reality.
Right, exactly.
That we have put, we have these layers of darkness between us and that, or the knowledge of that anyway. C.S. Lewis made a statement once that it always impressed me, and he says, and it had to do with loving your neighbor and knowing who your neighbor is. And he said, just be certain and be aware that whenever you're talking to another human being, you're talking to an immortal being. And that would be because man has been apportioned some part of God's spirit. And I think in mathematical terms here, just a little bit, one little part of infinity is still infinity. So there's still kind of a similarity there, at least a parallel in the thinking of it. Are we immortal beings?
Well, of course we are immortal beings. You know, our spirit and whatever else is going to be coming with our spirit. I mean, obviously at the resurrection, our bodies will join our spirits again. Will be recreated, but we are definitely immortal. God created us, even in our physical world, initially to be immortal. So I believe that Genesis tells us, for example, that Adam and Eve were to live forever in this Garden of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
But he told them, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. So if they shall surely die after they eat of the fruit, then they must have been designed to live forever. And I think the world was designed in such a way, with God's input, of course, to live forever. And we had in the midst of the garden this special tree called the Tree of Life. And so after the fall and the curse came on all of creation, then God changed everything in the universe, and not only man, but he changed everything. And inside of us, we now have programmed death. Obviously we can't. We try to do our best to work around it, but inside the nucleus of the cell and the start of DNA, if you will, are these starting units called telomeres. And that's where the DNA replication proteins sit in order to start the replication of the DNA. And so when a cell is about to die and it produces and it divides, for example, it has to copy all of the DNA information in order to do that. And so the starting point is one of these telomeres. But we only have a limited number of telomeres. And so that means that after so many copies, we can't copy any more. But apparently in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve was there, perhaps the fruit from the Tree of Life actually caused these telomeres to replicate, and we were not really supposed to die at that point in time.
So there is some evidence then that these telomeres are kind of like the physical evidence of the reason for death.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
exactly. There's your cells only have a certain number of them, and when they use them up, then they're used up and they don't replicate anymore. What? They can't replicate. They physically can't replicate anymore.
Well, here's a question for you. Why would there be a tree of life if we weren't supposed to eat it? Was somebody else supposed to eat it?
Adam and Eve partook of the tree of life, and obviously it was a physical symbol of Jesus in the end times being the tree of life.
I'm wondering what happened. I see the reference to a tree of life in the end times, but it seems to me that in Genesis, in God called a meeting or it spoke with whoever was around him there and said it's a good thing they didn't eat of the tree of life, or they would be immortal like us. And I've never known how to interpret that.
That's a physical interpretation. Mm-hmm. I mean, perhaps there, as I said, this is speculation, of course. Perhaps there was a substance or a chemical in the tree of life that actually caused a replication of the telomeres, so that they could physically live forever.
What I'm hearing from you is that all this information in Genesis and the Bible also makes sense scientifically, that there's a rational scientific explanation for this beyond the metaphysical. I mean, that's pretty down to earth, Don.
So. like we've talked about before, I mean, to exclude the Bible from your scientific thinking and your rational thinking is, you know, like trying to go on a ski trip and cutting off more than one leg. You know, it would be a little difficult, although it's been done. It would be a little difficult to navigate down, you know, a steep mountain without having both of your legs.
What is the God particle? That's been in the news recently, and it seems that people think it exists, but can't prove that it exists. But it's supposedly some subatomic particle that converts energy into matter. What do you know of the God particle?
It's a hypothetical particle. We've got weak forces in the nucleus and strong forces. And in order to be able to explain, the strong forces in the nucleus of an atom, I'm talking about, not of a cell, there has to be something holding it together. Now, we as Christians understand from all that, well, God, Jesus, has an active role and holding everything together, and one of the reasons why the earth is the sky is going to rip apart in the end times is that Jesus or God or the Holy Spirit is letting things go, but in the physical realm and the metaphysics, or the border between what we can see and what we can't see, and I mean seeing by instrumentation, because obviously it's not necessarily with our eyes, we have this mysterious strong force that is holding these the neutrons and the protons together, which if you put, for example, two positive charges together, or let's say you put the north pole of magnets, together, and you have very strong magnets, and you're trying to force them together, it takes a lot of force to hold those magnets, in place. Well, that's the same problem in the nucleus, where you have all these protons in a very tiny, tiny, you know, space. And how are these protons actually held together? Well, neutrons obviously play a role, but there's something even, you know, stronger than that that's holding everything together. So particle physicists have come up with theories. The leading theory right now is the string theory, interestingly enough. And the string theory basically is trying to bring together excuse me.
This is pretty heavy-duty stuff here, I know.
Quantum mechanics with the general relativity and trying to mesh those two into a more cohesive joint theory, if you will. Mm-hmm. And then the God particle plays into that. So, but it's interesting. I mean, the string theory, for example, says that there's multiple dimensions to space. And the quantum physicist would say, well, gee, it looks like there's 10 dimensions to space. That's an interesting point in itself. Because if you look at Genesis, and you look at it from a rabbi's point of view, and that is not, a Western Greek, mm-hmm. you know, linear kind of thinking, but a holistic type of thinking, God says, let there be something 10 times, which to them would say, there might be 10 dimensions to space. So the rabbis kind of had a glimpse of this multidimensionality of the world we live in long before the particle physicist did. But anyway, one of the things that pops out of the string theory is that it forces multi-dimensions. So we know about the three dimensions, of course, length, height, and width. Mm-hmm. Einstein came along and said, gee, you know, if we throw time into the mix, we can then predict these things, which he called first special relativity, and then later generalized it, and so it's called general relativity. So general relativity says that there's four dimensions, and now the string theory is pushing the dimensions up to 10 dimensions. So what that means is that particles exhibit some unusual behavior in that they go in and out of this physical universe as the particles break up and then reform and seem to translocate. A lot of things can be described in the mysterious quantum mechanics world through this string theory.
That's kind of a Stephen Hawking's approach to the universe, isn't it? Was string theory his idea?
Yes, he's contributed quite a bit to it, and other people have as well. And so they're all, you know, kind of trying to work this together. But it's interesting that what is a string? And a string is not a linear string. It's a circular vibrating, if you would. It's like you've got a rubber band, and it's vibrating in multiple places. Mm-hmm. So if we go back to one of the real early broadcasts, I think, when I said, you know, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. If God spoke into the physical universe, into this space-time realm, and caused vibrations into this space-time universe that we now, you know, that we live in.
We relate to, yeah.
We normally think of light traveling in straight lines or in space-time lines, but then the next part of that verse said, God divided the light from the darkness. And so what happened when God divided the light from the darkness? Well, if God actually caused the light to travel in a very tiny little circular pattern, then we could easily step from that to what they're now calling string theory. So maybe the particle physicist of today, Stephen Hawking's being one of them, but not really realizing what they're doing, is actually physically finding evidence for the voice of God
They would be loath to admit that, but that's what it looks like to me. They're getting closer and closer without knowing it.
Exactly. So we've got this. So the physical world that we see, it's not made of this hard stuff, which was really puzzling Einstein, for example. It's made of vibrations, which is exactly what God's word says.
Yeah, that notion occurs to me in considering the electromagnetic spectrum, and I may have mentioned this to you too, because I remember teaching in a Sunday school class this kind of a playful point of view, but. And the example I used was if the electromagnetic spectrum could be represented by a strip of movie film and stretched from Seattle to San Diego along the West Coast, that the portion of the spectrum that humans function in, that is sight and hearing and so on, would take up about 1 inch somewhere near San Francisco. And that leaves all the rest of that spectrum where energy and things are happening and information is being transmitted unknown to us. We've discovered portions of it. We learned about portions of it with X-rays and FM radio and low frequencies and down to sound. But the spectrum is so vast beyond that. There's so much going on. We just are not equipped to sense. Isn't that true?
Yes. No. That's absolutely correct. I mean, we know that they're gamma rays, for example, and neutrinos, whatever. I mean, we think that we know that they're neutrinos, although they're very difficult to detect.
I've never seen one. I know.
So you know, these are high and even gamma rays are high energy electromagnetic waves.
But it's all vibration. It is, as you say, it's all vibration.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And the quantum realm is really really fascinating, because it's if, for example, you take light and you pass it through two holes in a card, for example. If you look at the light, it will look like, well, okay, some of the particles go one way and some of the particles go another way. If you don't look at the light, you get a wave pattern generated. So light has this strange, which is really weird. I mean, why should observing the event have an outcome on what the result is? But that appears to be what is actually happening. So when you don't observe it, you would say, oh, there are waves going through two slits. If you observe it, you'd say, well, no, there are particles making two piles of particles. So it's since we live in this physical world, the question really arises from those of us who are trying to understand how God created everything. You would say, well, gee, we live in this physical world. It's almost as if God is looking at this physical world. So we have hard stuff. Mm-hmm. But if God turned his eyes away from us, we would just turn into vibrations again.
And in that sense, he's holding it all together.
Right. I mean, it's very, very strange.
Mm. It is.
That's just... They discovered that, I guess I was, shortly after the 40s and the 50s, they discovered these type of strange behavior. Another behavior of the quantum world is that particles seem to translocate, that it'll be, at one spot at one point in time, and then a little while later, it's somewhere else, and you didn't see where it went in between. And so that kind of screams of multi-dimensions, to space beyond what we can actually see.
How does mathematics relate to this? Isn't all this, you mentioned that science, certain things predict other things. And doesn't it boil down to mathematics, predicting the likelihood or probability of these things happening? That's where the study starts.
You have to use, of course, quantum mechanics is full of math, and string theory is full of math. And it's all mathematical constructs of trying to explain our physical world that we actually actually see.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating stuff. David, I imagine all this is gathering steam between your ears here. Do you have a thought for us on this? You've been kind of quiet.
Well, I've always been interested in metaphysics and quantum theory and all of this sort of thing. And one of the most striking things is when I'm concentrating on it, I can't understand a thing. But if I look at it out of the side of my eye and accept the constructs of it, then it makes sense. And, you know, and I heard an early explanation of quantum physics one time. It's that stuff that happens when you're not looking at it. I mean, the things that go on at the subatomic level, that if you look for it, it's not going to happen.
That's kind of what Dr. Dunn was just saying, yeah.
Or if you look at instruments that indicate that something has moved, something is gone, something is taking shape, something is not taking shape, then it's you can see the results of it. And frankly, it kind of makes my head hurt whenever I do try to think about it. But it's still interesting to think about.
Well, an example: you look at the night sky. If you look right at, looking for a star, you may not see it. You look to one side, and this may be just a physical effect of the way mm-hmm. eyes are constructed. But you can see some things better out of peripheral vision than if you're looking directly at it.
No, and I'm saying this stuff, and Don is looking at me like saying, "Was this guy from planet Earth? What is he talking about? Where did he come up with this cockamamie notion?" It's just, and there's another scientist that has released a couple of videos about string theory, and Michio Kaku, who has a radio show, weekly radio show, talks about string theory. And all of them say that they've invented it, they've developed this sort of thing, and they're all their particular spin on string theory and how it works and how it vibrates and how the strings are not really there, but if you don't look at them, you can hear them. You can hear them vibrate. I mean, but
right.
not
so,
hearing
I mean,
in this. Yeah, but not hearing in the sense of actual physical, oh, look, there's a noise, or here I hear a noise. But you can hear, it's almost like a hum, a background hum, at least from some of the things that I've... the other guy's name is Neil something, and I can't think of his last name, but as soon as we're off the program, I'm sure I'll think of it.
It'll come to you, yeah.
Yeah. But it's always been interesting to me because the attempt is to try to create a theory that will explain all the phenomena. And
right.
It just explain a broader theory that will encompass all things because a theory of relativity doesn't encompass, it doesn't explain all the phenomena, all the things that happen. I mean, you know, it does explain the difference between time and space, for example, but there's other things. And right now I'm coming at a blank because I'm sure there are things that relativity theory doesn't explain that actually happens. And I would look to an expert like you, Don.
Well, so what would those instances? I'm not a particle physicist, but trying to come up with a grand unified field theory. I mean, Einstein worked on this, and of course the folks like Niels Bohr, who was first developing this whole realm of the quantum mechanics. It is very satisfying when, for example, you come up with a theory that joins the two. For example, magnetism and electricity. They came up with Maxwell's equation, for example, that actually mathematically explains the two. You would say, well, okay, that now unified electricity and magnetism. Well, they're trying to do the same thing between quantum mechanics and general relativity. But it's interesting. Now, let's bring this back to the spiritual realm, because you know, those of us that believe in spirits, for example, how do angels, for example, go from the spirit realm into the physical realm? But we know that they do, and they go back into the physical realm. I mean, the spirit realm.
Mm-hmm. Well, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, and, you know, the other example I was going to give was, you know, obviously after Jesus died and he rose again, and he appeared to the disciples in the upper room, he came from the spirit realm and was, physically manifest in the upper room so that Thomas could, you know, feel his wounds in his hands and his side. It was quite physical.
Well, let me ask this then.
But yet came from the spiritual.
Yeah, we're kind of breaking up, losing audio here, Dr. Dunn.
Yes.
But let me ask you this. Assuming this succeeds, does science get to a point where it says, aha, there is a God? Or is there something in us that's going to prevent us from taking that step? You know, it's human beings,
there's definitely, yeah, exactly. There is definitely something in us that's, preventing us from acknowledging, just like with the folks with intelligent design, for example, the folks that believe in intelligent design and say, hey, look, folks, this biological stuff doesn't look like it just happened. It looks like it's been designed. They don't take the next logical step and say, well, who's the designer? They just say, well, we don't know. It looks like it's been designed, but we don't know who the designer is. Hmm. And we're not even going to ask that question because we're scientists. I mean, it's...
it's not our department.
So coming up with the same conclusion in the super, super small particle analysis and stuff, and saying that, well, it looks like... maybe there is a spirit world, mm-hmm. and maybe if there is a spirit world, that means that there's beings outside of ourselves, and if there's beings outside of ourselves, maybe there is actually a God. These folks are, a lot of them are so, they're atheists, so they're not going to come to that conclusion. Now, there'll be some that
science would have to come full circle to do that, because it started as a quest to observe and to learn and to understand how God made the universe. That's my understanding, the beginnings of science.
That's right. And so now, if we delve into this mysterious realm of quantum mechanics and general relativity and trying to make sense of particles disappearing and then reappearing and looking like they've got spin, and you hold yourself rigidly to this notion that all there is this physical world, you're not going to come up with the right conclusions. And you're going to be stumped in trying to explain the things that we actually see in the physical realm.
Maybe it's better called quandary physics, because that seems to be where it's leading them. I think so.
Right.
Yeah.
Dr. Don Clark, a board member with Creation Moments, and I would recommend a visit to their website, creationmoments.com. You can link to it from ours. Of course, we're brokenroadradio.com. Perhaps you're listening there this morning. Over to the right side of the page, you'll see a graphic that says Creation Moments. If you click on that, it'll take you there in another page, and you can explore just a wealth of resources that explain in great detail some of the very things that Dr. Don is talking about. You can listen to Ian Taylor's program right here on the air, his Creation Moments program, several times a day. It's a fascinating realm to be discussing, and it ultimately it's got to lead us back to that conclusion. But I just can't understand why science doesn't get there. I, I, I don't know that we've solved anything today, but we've sure had fun trying. Dr. Don, thank you so much for spending time with us again today.
You mean you're suggesting that maybe scientists don't want to?
Well, they should tune in, is what I'm
saying. Well, okay, they should listen. Yeah.
Well, that could be another topic for another time, in that is the spirit realm preventing them from understanding?
Ooh, interesting from notion. Maybe next week. Dr. Don, thank you. Be blessed and have a terrific day down there in East Texas. We'll talk to you again next Monday.
All right. Well, thank you. Y'all too.